I just remember we had come back from winter break and we both were at the salad bar. And I was like, hi, like, how was your break? What's going on? And he was like, it was great. And slowly transitioned into asking me to run with him. And I was so caught off guard and taken aback. I'm really happy he asked me, and I'm really happy that he was persistent about it.
I'm glad you said yes. Yeah, no, it's something that I think we both are passionate about. And so, you know, I think being able to share this is something that I'm excited about.
Hello, and welcome to Free Period, the podcast where we talk about all things Hill, from current events and campus happenings to the paths that led our community members to their home away from home. I'm your host, Headmaster Zach Lehman, and today I'll be catching up with our newly elected SGA co-presidents, Andrew Kirilason and Saja Mayfield. We'll talk about why they decided to run for this leadership position and what they hope to accomplish in their roles next year. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the journey. Thanks for joining us today. It's great to have you here. The Hill School's first co-presidents in the history of our school. 169 years. No pressure. How do you guys feel about being the first co-presidents?
It's exciting. You know, I think we're trailblazers.
I'm like really excited to get started, and I think I couldn't be doing it with a better person. So that's really great.
Yeah, no, I mean, as we said too in the debate, like I think the whole idea of being able to run with somebody else and share this awesome responsibility is something that we both talked about. And we really think that that was what was most enticing about the role.
Well, Saja, tell us a little bit about you and how you came to Hill. Andrew's got a little bit more of a direct line to the Hill School through his family, but you're from California. I don't think anyone in your family's ever been to boarding school. Certainly no connection to Hill. How'd you end up at Hill?
Well, I actually, going into my eighth grade year, I did a summer program at Deerfield, actually, which is a boarding school in Massachusetts, and I loved it and just decided then and there that I was definitely going to go to boarding school. It just depended on where. And then I went to a conference for the 10 best boarding schools in the world. I know we all hate rankings, but it's nice to know that we're in the best 10. So I went and I met Mr. Bala. And he was just absolutely amazing. And he was so passionate about Hill and loved it so much that it resonated with me and my mom the most. And I went through so many other meetings with different reps from different schools. And Mr. Bauer was always the one that stuck out the most to me and my mom. And when it came time to choose something, we knew it was going to be Hill.
Yeah. And so you're born and raised in California?
Born and raised in Los Angeles, California.
What part of Los Angeles do you live in? It's a big city.
Yes. So that is something that I would love to address on this great platform. So Los Angeles is both a county and a city, and the county is huge. Like you can live in Valencia, which is 2 hours away from me, in a suburban valley in the middle of nowhere and still live in Los Angeles. So I live in Los Angeles City, which is, I specifically live in Windsor Hills View Park. It's a lot more urban than some other suburban Los Angeles cities.
Yeah. So the imagery that we see in movies of Los Angeles, I've been to Los Angeles a lot of times, but, do you think of Los Angeles as this paradise, or do you think of it as sort of an urban concrete jungle? I mean, what's your, when you think of LA, what images come to mind?
I think about it in a lot of different ways. It's definitely has an aspect of being a concrete jungle, definitely, but also I think it's so idealized that there is that paradise aspect to it that is really exciting, or at least has been for a little bit now. I think as I get older, I'm starting to get really bored with being here because I've seen all the things and done all the things, so it's not as exciting for me anymore. But I think it's definitely a paradise to a lot of people.
When you think of LA, what movie do you think is the best depiction of your city?
The only movie that's coming to mind right now is, oh my gosh, I hope so many students watch this because this is going to resonate so much. There was a Disney Channel movie called Starstruck when I was like 7. And that movie, it was perfect. They got it, like they did like Pink's Hot Dogs, which is like a really great hot dog place in Hollywood. And they did Malibu Beach, which was really cool. They also did like some very unknown like restaurants and hot spots it was nice to see those types of things in the movie. So that's what comes to mind. I'll see if I can think of another one.
Well, we don't have many students from LA at Hill. There have been students from LA over your time here, and there's a handful from Southern California. When you come to Pottstown for school, I know you haven't done that quite recently, but when you're here, what are the things about LA that you miss the most? And what are the things about Pottstown and Hill that you like the most, just geographically and like place-wise?
Well, I think when I'm at Hill, what I miss the most is first my family. Like all of my family is here, all of my immediate family's here, so I miss them a lot. But I also miss the food. There's just so much. There's so many places to go and eat, and I'm such a foodie that that's my favorite thing in the world. But when I'm back at Hill, I think what I miss the most when I'm at home from Hill is the quiet. There's no quiet here at all. There's just, 24/7, there's always something going on. So I like that it's quiet at Hill, and I kind of like having cold winters and like having snow. It's pretty jarring, it was my third form year, but I'm used to it now and I really like it.
Cool. Well, Andrew, as we said before, your pathway to Hill is a little bit different.
Yeah.
You've spent time on our campus since you were a little kid. Your dad's an alum. He's a faculty member. Your oldest brother and your second oldest brother both went to Hill. You live on campus. You've known about Hill since you were a baby, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
So how does your path to Hill, was it a foregone conclusion for you? Or, was it something that you were pleasantly surprised that changed for you in third form?
Pleasantly surprised, I think, is a great way of putting it. It was not expected at all that I would be here. We've moved around a lot. My dad's always worked at schools, whether as a, administrator or as a teacher. So Hill was not in the picture actually until eighth grade year. It was something that I was really interested in, and I was heavily considering throughout middle school and trying to convince my mom. I remember just begging her, especially after my dad's reunion year, which was my sixth grade year. I was like, Mom, I gotta go. I want to go so bad. It was not something that I was expecting. And I actually didn't find out until a week before I graduated eighth grade that we would be moving here, which was really cool. It was kind of just, it was very affirming. I think, I had worked really hard with this goal in mind, and it just wasn't going to be realistic. My mom didn't want me going away. And, obviously it can be expensive to send the kids to boarding school. So I'd always worked hard hoping that there was a chance, and it was very rewarding and something, I'm incredibly grateful for having this opportunity. So.
Well, I remember meeting you and your brothers at a Lawrenceville football game. You were probably in fifth or sixth grade. And I remember you came and cheered on the Blues at that point, but little did we know that you and your brothers would all end up being graduates of the Hill and
yeah, I know.
With that football team eventually.
Yeah. It was really, what's also really interesting is that I had met Mr. Hallway or Coach Hallway when I was like 4 years old. because he was very close with Mr. Kowalczyk, who worked here in the 90s,
right,
and the 80s, and knew my dad well. So we had actually met when I was really little, and I mean, he ended up being my football coach for 3 years, which is a cool story.
Well, all right. So now let's talk about how the two of you know each other, right? You both are 4 year, sixth formers. My recollection is, Andrew, obviously you were a day student for the first 3 years and have been a day student for the first 3 years. And Sasha, you were in the dorms on day one. And Sasha, if I recall correctly, you lived in Dell Village your first year. So you were literally on the exact opposite end of campus from Andrew.
Yes.
Do you all remember the first time you met?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was a piano class. we had piano class together, and I won't say who was better at piano, because I don't know that I'd be supporting myself too much there. But no, we had piano class, and I specifically remember the first time hanging out, there was these practice rooms that you would go in and you would practice your song. And I needed somebody to listen to my song, and she was there. So I was like, hey, do you mind listening in? And she did, and we started talking. I mean, she was just very nice right off the bat, and very engaging, which I appreciated, and genuine too. I think that's a great attribute that Sasha has. She's authentic. And so that was the first time I think we really experienced an interaction together. And I think we kind of just hit it off. And then from there, we sit next to each other in history class this year, which is great too. So, I mean, that's the first recollection that I have.
Yeah, Sasha.
That's actually my first thought when I think of meeting you, but that definitely is the first time. But we also had bio together, third form year.
Oh, Shabio.
Shabio, legendary class.
Yes.
And I still distinctly remember it to this day. Andrew asked the most questions of any student I've ever known in my life, and I loved it. I was like, this kid, it doesn't matter if it's like a clarifying question or if it's totally like sometimes completely off topic, who knows with Andrew, but like if he wants to find something out, he is going to ask as many questions as it takes. And I still admire that about him.
It's accurate. I know my teacher sometimes might be they might be frustrated by that at times, but I love asking questions. If I don't know something, I definitely have a desire to know. So that can be a great attribute. Depends on who's looking at it. I certainly think it's something that's helped me.
Well, you said that you called that class Shabio.
Yeah.
Can you fill me in on the inside joke?
Yeah, Sasha's got this one.
Yeah. So Naomi Uday, who is a very close friend of mine and a huge personality and character, she dubbed it Shabio, just because I don't know, like it. She was in her life where like every word "sha" would be in front of every word, and she just made it Shabio, and it has been that forever, and it will stay that forever. So thank you to Tony.
Who was the teacher?
We even got Miss Weissbach calling it Shabio by the end of the year. So
yeah,
God bless her. it definitely stuck. Yeah.
Well, okay. So fast forward, I know you both have had amazing Hill careers, both academically and in co-curriculars, and you know, you're very well-respected classmates, and obviously you were elected, so you're admired by your classmates as well as younger students and the faculty. When did you decide that you wanted to run together?
So when I found out that there was going to be a pair that would end up being co-presidents, that was really enticing. And I thought a lot about, you know, who could I run with that would challenge me, but also call me out too. Like, I didn't want somebody that was just going to agree with everything I said, who would be willing to challenge me and work together well with me, and listen and kind of help me along. And I honestly could not think of anybody better. And Sasha, just in terms of a perspective too, you know, like we get along very well, but we reach a very wide audience on campus, and that mattered a lot to me. So I think sometime in the winter, I had, you know, mentioned the question, and she obviously, you know, has been a part of the Honor Council, which is awesome. And so I understood the hesitation, and maybe Sasha could talk more about how she kind of came along and wanted to join me in this. But that was, I think, you know, in the winter, I kind of knew then, and I asked Sasha, and fortunately enough, she ran with me.
Yeah, it was, I was caught off guard. I just remember we had come back from winter break and we were both at dinner and we both were at the salad bar. And I was like, hi, like, how was your break? What's going on? And he was like, it was great. And slowly transitioned into asking me to run with him. And I was so caught off guard and taken aback. And I was just like, my first thought was to say no immediately. I was just like, no. And I think that was just because I had done honor council for so long that felt like, you know, going to do honor council next year, hopefully being honor council president, was sort of the natural progression in my mind. But I'm really happy he asked me, and I'm really happy that he was persistent about it, because I could not imagine it going any other way. Like, I think I needed to sort of step out of my comfort zone a little bit and do something different, but something that I ultimately, I think, wanted more and will be happier doing. So I'm really happy that you asked.
I'm glad you said yes. Yeah, no, it's something that I think we both are passionate about. And so, you know, I think being able to share this again, like I said, is something that I'm excited about.
So let's backtrack a little bit. So I've been here 8 years. The Hill School has always had, as far as I know anyway, a single sixth form president who also serves as the SGA president. My first year here, it got a little dicey, because there was a lot of concern that we had not had a female president of the school. And I encouraged the SGA to consider making some changes in terms of how candidates were elected, and there was huge pushback. One of the things we had recommended was co-presidents, and that didn't go over very well. And so I sort of let it go after a while. We eventually had our first female president in Olivia Zitkus, who's now on our board of trustees. And then, you know, then we had a number of years without a female president. And I think last year the SGA took it upon themselves with no encouragement from me or from Mr. Baum or anyone else to make this change to co-presidents. They themselves, all male, saw an injustice and did something about it. So can you remember when this was announced last year, how you both felt about that before you thought about running, or maybe you thought about running at that very moment or had been thinking about running? But what was your initial reaction to that decision and that initiative by the SGA? Saja, why don't you respond first?
Yeah, I actually remember it very well when they announced it at lunch. It was a Friday. We were having advisory lunch, and I was baffled. I just remember thinking, "Wow, like that is a huge change. That's a really big decision." And we just talked about it amongst our advisory. And I just remember saying, I agree that there should be something done to make sure that women at this school feel empowered and feel like they have a fair chance of becoming SGA president. And then I also felt like if our student body wants a female president, they will elect one. And that is what made me so happy that the SGA took it upon themselves to create change and to make this co-presidency happen, because that is a clear indication that the student body does want a female president, and they do want, 50% of our school, they want those voices to be heard, and they want them to be in positions of power. And that was really important to me. It made me really happy. And I had no intentions of running at that point, but, I was happy that it would happen no matter what.
Andrew, how about you?
You know, I was very surprised too, especially, you know, I remember Max getting up and making the announcement, but I thought it was a great first step, really, like Saja had said, for all the reasons she had mentioned, to kind of bring perspective. What co-presidents do in my mind is it really helps widen the perspective. It's hard when it's one person who has, you know, whether they're, you know, have a very narrow mindset in terms of the school, or they've seen the school in a lot of ways, having two people automatically increases your your reach. And that's really important, especially, you know, I see us in our role as a pivot between the faculty and the student body and helping communicate. And the more people you know and the more people you can talk to helps with that communication. So I thought it was a great step. I really do.
Yeah, I also found it interesting, you know, under the new guidelines for co-presidency, it didn't have to be a boy and a girl. It could have been two boys. It could have been two girls. And in fact, we modeled it after Andover's approach. And I think they did it for the same reason that we did, or partially. And in their first year, they ended up with two boys as co-presidents. And we worried a little bit that might happen at Hill. But in the end, the four co-president candidates were both boy-girl. And I think that was, it was nice to see it evolve that way. But I don't know if you have any reaction to that or if either of you had, I mean, I know, Saja, you were responding to Andrew's invitation, but Andrew, did you ever consider asking another male student, or was it always a plan to ask Saja and you didn't think about it as, you know, a gender?
I knew that, like, obviously, like I said, I wanted to ask Saja to do it, but that it would be very beneficial for me to have a female as my running mate. Especially just, like I said, that just, it broadens the reach, and that's important to me, that everybody feels like they're being heard and stuff like that. You know, I'm one of three boys too. So I probably more than others struggle to put myself in the mindset of a girl at the Hill School. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, having her to kind of bounce ideas off of, and like I said earlier, you know, she's going to challenge me on certain things, which is good. And I think that's going to make me more effective in my role.
I think you guys, the two of you, complement each other pretty well. You have different interests. You have different academic interests. You're from different parts of the country. You have different co-curricular interests. Where do you think the biggest common denominator is between the two of you? You've emphasized the differences during the campaign, just to, you know, again, to talk about that reach. You know, you appeal to a lot of different kinds of students, but where are you most similar?
I think I see us being the most similar in that we're both very active, genuine listeners. Andrew is probably one of the best people to go to if you just want to talk, because he will listen and listen and listen and respond to you in a way that is so compassionate and genuine and that makes you feel so heard. And that's rare to find in a person, especially like a teenage boy, to be frank and honest. So I think that is something that stuck out to me, and I like to think that I'm the same way. And I think people really respond to that about us, that we're both really genuine people.
I appreciate that. I agree with that 100%, but also just like somebody who equals my love of people. Like Saja said it on the Dean's Discord, like she loves people. And that's something that like means a lot to me, to have people. Like I said in my application, like I want to be surrounded by people that are going to bring out the best in me, and that we share that. I think we've definitely bonded over that too. I can talk and talk and talk, and she knows that. And I think she's the same way too. So being able to share that, it's been really nice too.
Andrew, I just had a revelation. Was your father the president of the sixth form?
Yeah, class of 85. Yeah.
I remember seeing a photograph of him giving announcements at lunch, and it had like a walkie-talkie hand.
Yeah, no, much different then.
It was like a megaphone or something like that. Yeah. Well, that's pretty cool. I wonder, we should do some research. I should ask Mr. Jeffries to see if there's ever been a father-son, or, you know, I don't think we've had a father-daughter one yet, but father-son situation would be pretty interesting.
Yeah, no, my mom actually had heard from Mr. Jeffries because she was interested. And I think I'm the fourth family too. So it's definitely happened in the early 1900s, I think it was. I don't know. It was very
only Mr. Jeffries would know that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, and he got back right away too.
Well, maybe we'll get that megaphone walkie-talkie thing back for you next year.
Yeah, we could replicate the picture. I get the longer hair too.
Well, let's talk for a minute about what it's like to run for something like this in the middle of a pandemic and virtual Hill. You know, I watched the caucus and the debate. Very different experience. You know, there's no crowd. There's no sense of the audience. You know, typically candidates have their friends who are sort of hooting and hollering and supporting them, or there's good laughter, or there's a little bit of the oohing and aahing when someone asks a tough question. How did that feel from the candidate's perspective?
It was different. it was very strange because all you could see was participants and the number going up and stuff like that. So like there was a sense that people were listening, or you hope they were listening. But like you said, there's not a bunch of people that you're familiar with and you see every day sitting in front of you, whether it's supporting you or just like actually seeing them listen. So that was very unique. And I think that all the candidates did a great job adjusting. Reva and Eva did a great job helping us, you know, transition into this new virtual Hill phase in terms of how that would change the campaigns. So I think we were well prepared for it, but it was not what I had envisioned in my mind 3 months ago.
Yeah, I think having done some like revisit day panels and things like that, talking in front of crowds is something that I'm very comfortable with. And it helps a lot because you can feed off the crowd and sort of by looking at their faces, you can tell whether or not you need to be funnier or, you know, be more serious or whatever. You can sort of gauge what the conversation needs and where you need to steer yourself. So we didn't really have that, which was very, very nerve-wracking, especially in the caucus, because we just had no idea what was going to happen and how it would be received. So it was really hard, but, just a lot of preparation, a lot of conversations between me and Andrew about what we wanted our message to be and, where we wanted to, like what points we wanted to make very clear to the audience. But I think ultimately it went pretty well.
It seemed somewhat choreographed, watching it, you know, certain questions, it seemed that Andrew knew he was going to field that question, or Saja, you knew you were going to field a different question. Obviously you guys coordinated that a lot, or were you texting like underneath the screen, like to each other?
No, we weren't texting, but we had talked a lot. Again, even before, I told Saja, like, and she agreed 100%, like when we run, we need to be very clear on what we're doing. I said, this is a really big responsibility, and to assume this position together and not have a plan is very unfair to the student body. So we had talked a lot over Zoom calls. We had multiple ones over the phone, through texting and stuff like that. So we were very much on the same page. And again, that just shows, you know, our communication, which was very beneficial.
I also think we just know each other really well and know what each other's strengths are, and we're always really good at playing off of that.
Goes back to that initial piano moment, right?
Yep.
And good listeners. Okay, so I've got to ask, what's up with the laundry and the quarters? You know, how did that become like your main platform in the caucus? You know, you trying to get free laundry, which, by the way, is now going to happen.
Yes. Yep. But, we heard very quickly from Mr. Genicus.
But, you know, laundry as your number one platform item, it was funny.
Yeah, no, we know. I mean, again, I think our number one platform that we really ran off of was community. And we needed something, I guess you could say, more tangible that we could kind of show, that we thought was obtainable from the start. So that was what we ran with. And yeah, it is kind of comical to think about that, like, laundry was our thing. But I think, and I think Saja agrees, that our main platform is community.
Well, I always chuckle every year. I stop by the SGA elections or the debates for each of the forms. And inevitably, the third form election is always about getting rid of breakfast check-in. And it's probably been since the beginning of time, you know, get rid of breakfast check-in for third formers. I'm going to get it done for you this year. And we still have breakfast check-in for third formers.
Yeah.
I guess we've gotten rid of it for the spring term.
That's progress. I think it's good. I mean, obviously, Saj could talk more about that as a boarder, but I'm sure it's helped our students learn certain skills. like waking up on time.
So as you move forward, you know, this is going to be a very different kind of transition in leadership. Typically, you know, you would be on campus right now. You'd be starting to develop the relationships with, you know, the constituents here. There's other elections coming up for other SGA members and for the Honor Council. And, you know, typically we'd have a meeting and you'd meet with the, you know, associate headmaster and dean of students, and you'd start planning for next year. And, you know, as of right now, we're not coming back this year. We're starting to make plans for the fall, but, you know, there's still a lot of uncertainty and unknowable aspects of the fall, which means the community is going to be more important than ever, but also more difficult to build than ever. I'm very optimistic that we will return in the fall, but I know that there are going to be disruptions. There's going to be students who can't make it back on time or delayed in getting back or unable to or have to leave at certain points of the year. And even if we're back, we're going to have to do some physical distancing and some other things that will make it harder to, you know, I think of the images of the Hill School in the fall and orientation and people hugging and, you know, pep rallies and all of the things, you know, seated meals. These are the things that make Hill, Hill. And that's what defines our community. How are you going to create those genuine relationships without that contact and closeness? I mean, we don't need to be hugging each other to be close, but it's certainly a byproduct of what this community is built on.
I think that's so true. Like, especially coming in as a new student, just being around everyone so much, especially in the first couple of months, is really important for building community. But I also think that it's not just our physical proximity that makes us such a close community. It's the genuineness between our connections and the work that we're willing to put into those connections. So just like now, how we're all making sure that we talk to our friends over Zoom and that we stay connected via, you know, any social media, Instagram, Snapchat, whatever, it's going to be more work, but that's okay because the connections that we build in this community are so important and so strong that it's worth doing. So I think Andrew and I are just going to continue doing the work. We're going to continue doing podcasts like this and like the team's Discord, and maybe even set up like a Zoom meeting for students to come and talk to us about whatever they want. Yeah, and just stay connected, even though we're physically distancing. We're not social distancing, as right. Mr. Ball likes to say.
Yeah, I just think that obviously, like you said, Mr. Lehman, it's going to look different. And we're going to have to think about new ways to create platforms, like we had said, for students to feel like they're heard and to feel like they're developing relationships. And that's something that it's trial and error. I mean, not all of it's going to work out right away, but we're going to be better for it. And I think we're going to come out of this as a closer community. I mean, I don't know what other schools like in the Maple are doing, but like I said, the fact that we're even doing stuff like this, you know, we still have speakers on Tuesdays and stuff, and your podcast and the Dean's Discord 3 times a week. I mean, that's not, I don't know that that's normal for other communities, but that's almost expected for Hill. And that's really special. It is. And to be a part of that and understand that it's special, and I think our students understand that it's genuine, is unique. I mean, at least I think this time has helped a lot of us realize that, and that we've taken for granted sometimes in the past.
Well, the good news is, no matter what, Andrew will be on campus.
Yeah, no, I have not left.
He's going to be standing in the middle of the quad. He may be alone, but you were the only co-president candidate that had a Hill School campus resident on the ticket. Well, hopefully you won't be alone. I'm pretty confident that you won't be. All right, so our listeners want to know, who's giving announcements, and how are you guys going to divide that up at lunch?
I mean, I told Sasha, I think it's important that we're seen together as much as possible because we share this role. But knowing that, you know, sometimes because of our schedule, we're going to be drawn in other places and stuff like that. I think with regards to launch announcement, maybe we split it up or something. I don't know. But I do think it's important to be seen together. So Sasha could probably add to that.
Yeah, I think we might split up announcements, but I think that whatever we do, like how Mike does Monday Rocks, I think whatever our thing is, we're going to definitely do that together, and we're definitely going to do the wheel together.
I'm excited for the wheel.
You want to bring the wheel
back? Not going to lie, the wheel is very enticing. That's something that I considered heavily during my campaign, and maybe finding ways to potentially magnetize the headmaster's holiday one so we could get that done.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised that no one has fixed that. It's literally been sitting in the dining hall unguarded for the full year.
We have honor. We have honor. It's expected.
We have honor at the Hill School. This is true.
Sasha's done a great job.
But the headmaster's holiday is pretty compelling as a alternative approach. But I appreciate that you haven't magnetized it yet.
No, not yet.
And the plus side, you get to have lunch with me every day.
I know. I've thought about that, Mr. Lehman. The fact that I haven't had the honor to sit with you and Mrs. Lehman at the head lunch table has been something that I've been so close to it. I sit with Mrs. Dietrich during the winters, and it's literally right there, and I could see it.
So amazing. Just
I know, it's there. You guys have fruit in your water. You know, that is very enticing.
Well, you'll have to decide, Andrew, sometimes our president or vice president in the past, if they were a member of a varsity team, took that term off. So the good news is that one of you can sit at the table, but hopefully both of you will sit there. We'll enjoy that. It's a fun table. We do get a few extra perks, but nothing out of control for sure. But you don't have a tagline yet. You know, usually someone has a tagline. President, you know, stay classy, Hill School, take care of each other, Monday Rocks. You haven't figured out your thing yet.
Not yet.
All right. Well, it'll come to you, I'm sure, over the summer.
Yeah, it's got to be authentic. Can't be forced.
So, what is your what's your greatest? What do you think is going to be your greatest obstacle or challenge, beside COVID-19 and that piece of it? Assuming that we're back to some semblance of normal next year, what do you think are the biggest obstacles as co-presidents?
I think our biggest obstacle is going to be dealing with more cultural integration, because I think that's something that has been slightly lacking in the past couple of years that I've been at Hill, and it's definitely something that more and more students are catching on to and more and more students are pushing for. So I think that'll be our biggest obstacle, figuring out how to fully like have something that we do for cultural integration yearly and making sure that students feel heard on that, feel represented on that front.
Yeah, I think we definitely have a vision for what we want the school to look like in terms of community. I think that another challenge is just going to be making sure that everybody's on board with that and on the same page, and we're going to have to adjust in some ways, and that's okay. So just kind of learning how to get everybody else behind us on that is going to be definitely challenging, but it's a challenge we welcome.
So every spring when we have a debate for SGA, there is the perennial criticism of SGA, which is, so what did you get done this year? You know, and typically there's a few incumbent candidates and they get challenged, you know, you didn't do anything this year. You know, you spent all year working on a petition for quarters for laundry machines or something like that. So how are you going to make sure that you actually get some stuff done, some real tangible stuff? You can't do the quarters anymore. That got done already. You're not going to get credit for that. How are you going to make sure that when the next round of candidates get up there, that they're not critical of this SGA administration?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think that we play a very big piece in this shift of what co-presidents mean and how we're going to, you know, maybe reshape the SGA. And so obviously there are tangible goals that we want to accomplish. And that, again, is very contingent on whether the faculty agrees with that. I think we both agree that at the end of the year, the success of the SGA, and we hope that this is true for the future, but the success of the SGA is really just looking at the community as a whole and saying, are we better off than we were the year before? And if that's the case, then I think we've done our job. And it might not look as flashy as we want, but it's still progress. And right now, I think Sasha and I wanted to cultivate an SGA that continues this in the future, that each year we're just getting a little bit better and a little bit, because slow progress is still progress. So that's something that's very important. And again, it might not look very flashy. You know, it might not be huge things like creating the co-presidents or something like that. But that's okay too. It really is. And I think that if we focus on community and stuff like that, our school and campus life as a whole, there's a lot of great things in store.
So typically the president and now the co-presidents get to choose their room. Have you guys scoped out a room that you want for next year? Obviously you guys are going to be living separately, but, Andrew, do you have a room scoped out?
I'm going to have to talk to my roommate about that. I'm going to give him dibs on that one. Ethan Kreuzberg is my roommate. And so I didn't know that. I'll be happy to tell him that. But probably somewhere in US, maybe on US 2, Mr. Baum's floor. Return the Kirillason legacy there. Rocco and Griffin were roommates on that floor. So maybe getting back there.
Yeah, I think I'm going to be on the east side, also on the second floor, in the room that my prefects, Reva and Nicole, had this year. It's the biggest room, and I just love it. It has a great view. I'm very excited.
All right. Well, I'm glad you guys are not focused on the perks of the job and more focused on the duties and responsibilities.
Yeah.
Doesn't surprise me one bit. So what are your plans for the summer? Not Hill related. I mean, presumably.
Yeah. I guess that depends on how the COVID-19 thing works out. But I was thinking about getting an internship at a law firm, hopefully, possibly. But also my two older sisters, want to go on like a sister vacay to Disney World in Florida. So we had planned to do that in June or July, but it's not looking like that's going to happen. So we're crossing our fingers and hoping, because it sounds like a lot of fun.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know that mine would be that exciting. I'll probably spend a lot of time here close by Garden Campus, but no, my summers usually just consist of like hanging out with my brothers, friends, just relaxing too, enjoying the change of pace. My grandmother lives in Reading, which isn't far away, so I'll spend a couple weeks there, you know, here and there, just to get off campus and stuff like that. So seeing family, preparing for, you know, the upcoming school year and football season too. So,
well, it's been a pleasure to catch up with the two of you. I'm very excited to work with both of you. I always enjoy the transition to a new group of leaders. We all have so much to learn in our own leadership. And I've learned as much from our student leaders as I hope they've learned from me. So we'll have a great time getting to know each other even more over the coming year or so. And I wish you both the best and good health and good spirits as we navigate uncharted territory.
Yeah, I'm excited. Thanks for having us on.
Yeah, thanks so much. It's been great.
And remember, don't be late for class.
Yeah.
Thanks for spending your free period with us today. Tune in next time as I catch up with Nate Whittemore, a third-form student from New Jersey. We'll talk about his first year at Hill, what he hopes to accomplish before he graduates, and how life has changed for him since the start of COVID-19. Have a great rest of your day, and remember, don't be late for class.